It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. So welcome to Winning with Trevor. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful. Welcome. So this is a podcast we're going to discover some new things together, as we do every week. And this time we're going to talk a little bit about failure, and we're going to talk about what it means to face your fears and to really assess yourself honestly. Now, last time we were talking about what it meant to find your why. So what does that even mean? Well, you can have the most amazing dreams, most defined ambitions. You can have the perfect day planner. You have calendar dates for when you want to achieve your goals. Everything can be amazing. But when it comes down to it, the results don't really follow. And why is that? It's because you're not really finding your why. Whatever issue that is, you're athletic, you're trying to get better at sports or martial arts, or competitive chess playing online or in person, and you're just not reaching those benchmarks because what is your why? You don't have a why. You just know that you want to do better. You want to do better than what you have now, but what is that why? And we talked about how a lot of people use family members as their why, loved ones, friends, as, you know what, I care about my friends. I want to make them proud. I want to make my dad proud. I want those people to really see what I do and say, wow, right? And that's a great feeling to get recognized. But you have to recognize yourself first. And the first thing to recognize is, why are you doing what you're doing? Because that's so important. When you find that why, that elevates your game to the next level. It's a true game changer. A lot of people like to talk the talk, but they don't really like to walk the walk, because it means owning up, having that responsibility for your success and your failure. That's key, because if we're still pointing out at the world, if we're still blaming other people, blaming our childhood circumstances, blaming our parents, not to say that, you know, people didn't have it hard and that didn't play a role. It did. It definitely played a role. All those factors played a role in shaping who you are today. But you're here right now with the opportunity that we're exploring through these podcasts to change up your game and to level up and say, I want more out of life, and I'm not just going to say this vaguely. This is not just going to be another, you know, I say it in a conversation and forget it 10 minutes later. This is a commitment to personal excellence, because you're worth it. Everyone is. So one of the things we covered last time that I'm just going to talk about real fast and get into the new material is the whole illusion of time and the concept that we don't have enough time. It's always, you know, running out as we get older. We get more active in our lives. We fill our lives up with more awesome things to do, extracurricular activities, meetups, groups that we go to, private enterprises that we're investing in if you're in the entrepreneurial life like me, whatever the case may be. Our time seems to get shorter, and so we have to find ways to create that time, especially for personal development, because that's, you know, the one investment that will always have a return, because you're the investment. You're the you know, the hedge fund. That's a horrible way to say it. We are much better than hedge funds. We are dynamic, changing, fluid individuals that are about to shape the world and the image of beauty by dedicating ourselves fully to the cause of being better every way possible. How about that? A little better than hedge fund? I hope so. The point is, analogies aside, when we invest in ourselves, we give back to ourselves. And that's an amazing feeling. To say, you know what? I bet on you, self. I put my chips on you. I know you're going to succeed. And that expectation, just like the opposite of failure, the expectation to succeed, that's definitely going to carry you forward. So when we talk about time for self-help, to develop yourself and to work on yourself and become a better person, and not just to gain the applause of the peanut gallery, but to truly become a wholesome, better person, someone who's balanced emotionally, socially, psychologically, balanced spiritually, if you would, to have your chi in the right place, to aim your energy in the right direction instead of uselessly slinging it on, you know, I wish it was like this, but it isn't. Everyone has speeches like that. But so when we want to practice this way, this peaceful warrior path of really practicing what we preach and living a better life, but feeling like, well, I've got all these obligations to do, when do I really have time? I can't just sit on a lotus flower and meditate om all day in the middle of a pond. I have stuff to do. Well, of course. But here's the deal. With every single interaction that you have, whether this is with that homeless guy that's on that highway median asking for change or coming up to you on the street, or it's, you know, when you're paying your Lyft driver or your Uber driver and you're getting out after a ride, or it's when your mom calls or you call her, or it's when you deal with a coworker, and maybe a coworker that's kind of maybe a rude person, less than graceful. All these different situations, these social interactions. You're trying to get your coffee from the barista, and, you know, maybe she gives you the ugly eye. Maybe you feel like she gave you the ugly eye. Whether or not that's what happened, that's kind of what it felt like. Nose a little too high in the air. But what is the reality? What is her background? What has she actually done to you? And how did her day go, right? There's a whole different way of thinking about that. So all these different situations, whether it's, you know, interacting with the garbage man coming by to, I don't think we do that anymore, do we? A lot of cities have garbage trucks that have automatic machines that hook into the trash can and dump them over. I don't think a lot of big cities have the guys actually come out and pick up the trash cans anymore. Maybe that's not an up-to-date analogy. You know, okay, you're at a club and you're dealing with the bartender or the bouncer or random people that you're talking with. The people that you call your friends, your really best BFFs, and the social acquaintances that you keep around for certain functions. All of these people, all these different types of social interactions, from going to the library to buying a new CD, if people do that anymore. Just stuck in the 90s here. Best decade ever. It's a chance. All of these scenarios, all these social interactions that you have, whether it's with the maintenance man at your, you know, apartment complex, or it's with, you know, a family member, a brother or a sister, or it's with a friend. And this doesn't have to be some kind of, you know, scenario where it's all hell breaks loose. No. We're talking day to day. Just your daily routine, who you normally interact with. Every single time we interact with people, we have a chance to be our best self. We have a chance to make it not just about yourself. My friend Anthony, one time, when I was much younger, I was a little more immature, he once said to me, "It's not all about you." And it really hit me really hard, because I hadn't really thought about it that way. And then I really thought about it. I said, you know what? I should be concerned and validating how other people feel and what their experiences are. So we have that opportunity with every time, you know, we have a social interaction, to be interested in other people, to be curious about how their lives are and how they feel. Now, some of us, I don't know individually everyone who listens to this podcast, but some of us out there, we're naturally curious. We want to find out about other people because people are fascinating. Everyone has this whole entire world behind them, because how they view the world was shaped by their individual environmental factors, from the city they grew up in, to the friends they had, to the parents that raised them or didn't raise them in many cases. So who knows what they really, you know, look at the world as compared to your vision of the world. Each person has kind of their own reality they carry with them. That's this whole kind of secret martial arts Jet Li move here that we're doing with the podcast, is we're being able to shift that reality and say, okay, if we're all carrying our own little realities with us, the predefined terms, the social syntax of the language our hearts speak, is so unique to each person. We're attributing meaning every step of the way to the deeds and actions other people do that we interact with, to random events that happen in the world and in our city and the moments that we have. We attribute meaning to that. And a lot of times it's arbitrary. Like I was mentioning in another podcast, we can live our life completely on autopilot and knee-jerk reactions, or we can decide to live an intentional life. So that's where we're focused for this podcast. So every interaction that you have, this creates so much time, right? Instead of having to wake up an hour earlier or dedicate 15 minutes out of your day, still things I encourage you to do, right? To meditate, to reflect. Introspection is gold. It can really, really heal you. It can really give you insight into what's going on. It's cheaper than therapy also. Side note. But even if you don't do those things, which I still encourage, you can use every single moment that you have a social interaction with other people or just situations that happen as a chance to practice personal excellence. You know, it's funny how our experiences have that power to either shape us or for us to decide how that experience will shape us, because it is up to us to decide who we become in the aftermath. Let's take Eddie Murphy, for example. Really interesting, funny, hilarious guy, one of the comedic geniuses of our time, like Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock that came after and were influenced by Eddie Murphy, definitely someone they looked up to. Eddie Murphy, he had, you know, kind of a rocky youth. You know, his father died when he was younger, stabbed by a woman, and, you know, his mother tried to raise him. Things didn't go as well as they could have. He ended up in foster care when he was 8 years old. Well, he actually attributes a year that he spent in foster care when he was 8 years old to being one of those key moments in his life that helped shape his sense of humor. What a way to reshape your experiences, right? He could have totally used that as a chip on his shoulder to say, screw the world, there's no point in trying. I'm in this really shitty experience right now. I'm not really with my parents, and, you know, it's not familiar to me. But he used that experience to develop and cultivate his sense of humor, which ended up giving him this amazing lifestyle. So that's something to note. And there's dozens of examples of people that chose to leverage their time and give their own significance, their own meaning to something that happened, and use those situations to their benefit. Instead of saying, you know, well, hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, I could have done this. I could have done that, but I didn't. So now I'm here, and that means that life must suck. I have a friend, and that's what he does, and it's sad to me that that's his conclusion. We're having conversations, and I'm trying to help him get to the next level, but a lot of times, if the outcome isn't ideal, he'll say, yeah, I realize I definitely could have made different choices that would have ended up in a better reality than the one I'm living in, but I didn't. Blew my money. So much for that. I guess that just means that I'm destined to fail. Okay, you can look at it like that. That's one way to interpret reality, but that's not objective reality. That's not simply this concrete law like gravity that you can't defy. This is a choice. You can interpret it that way. You could just say, well, I've learned how not to do it. That's a plus. And I've learned a few ways that will probably work better next time that I'll be eager to try out to have a better future than the one I'm currently living in the present. So it's all about how you choose to attribute those experiences with your own meanings. So having that power to say, yeah, I was late for work. Yeah, I got yelled at by my boss, and maybe he's not the greatest person. But you know what? I'm thankful that I have a job, and there's so many people out there that are putting in applications, and there's thousands of other people competing for that same job, and they don't have one. I have a source of money, and I'm thankful for that. It's all about your attitude and how you choose to dwell or focus on certain emotions. So this illusion of time, this whole concept that as we get older and we fill our lives full of more things and ideally more meaningful things and activities to do, more sincere interactions with other people if we can make those beautiful connections. The illusion that we don't have enough time, it is simply a construct of our minds, because we can use so many different moments for developing and evolving our sense of self and personhood. So I realize I probably over-articulate at points, but it's really important to be specific here, because we can walk through life and we can be in the same place 20 years from now that we are right now. I know people like that. My father's one of them. He hasn't changed in, I don't know, 40 years, 50 years, same person. You can look at other people that have chosen to say, you know what? I think I can do better. I will do better. I can change. I will change. I will never, ever, ever give up. So you can structure time how you like it. You can use the interactions that you have with other people as a chance to be your best self, as a chance to practice personal excellence. So when you're having an interaction with someone that you know or someone you don't know, think about how you can be proactive towards just being a really good person, being a kind person, being someone that they're inspired by. How can you be inspiring? Now, this is not, you know, puff up your peacock feathers and strut that ego out on display. It's a little different. Being inspiring is just a matter of being that person you always wish you were, in hindsight, but instead of waiting until something happens and saying, wow, I fucked that up, being able to say right now, wait, you know what? I can try a little harder. I can do a little better. And I can use the time that I have now with other people for more than one purpose. Instead of just passing the time and going through the routines, I can now transform these daily experiences into kind of my testing grounds for seeing how I can modify myself to change who I am to be a better person. It's kind of a revolutionary idea, because a lot of people feel, you know, that that's impossible, but it's all about what you believe and what you expect, and you get what you believe and you get what you expect. So that was a rather long recap. Apologies. I felt it was important to emphasize that. So we're going to talk about, in the remaining time, what it's like to face failure. And what it really means when you honestly confront that. You know, you're trying to achieve something and you hit below the bar. You didn't do as well as you thought you were. What does that mean to you? What kind of person are you going to become in the aftermath? Because we can spiral out and, again, attribute our own meanings to this and say, you know what? We can use this to validate our own self-destructive belief system and just say, I give up, I'm not going to try anymore, and I'm going to accept and settle for a lesser life than the life I know I can have if I tried harder to be a better person. So, you know, let's just use an example. We want to get specific. Say you're taking a Spanish test, and you got a C, and you thought you were going to make an A. Man, you studied for those hours for your community college or your university. You busted it out. You got index cards on index cards. You listen to Spanish radio stations. You meet up with local meetup groups and talk Spanish with people in person. You've talked with the professor. You're really familiar. You feel confident. You're like, wow, I'm going to ace this test. Maybe you even got an A on a previous little quiz, but now this big exam comes up. You take the exam. You feel great. You feel like, wow, I'm just going to ace this, just hit that ball right out of the park, home run all day. And then you find out, oh, shoot, I got a 76, I got a C. And you have this crushing blow where you feel all of a sudden like, wow, damn, I'm not really that great at this, am I? I thought I was, but I guess I'm not. And so then you start that parade of self-doubt of comes marching in, and you're like, wow, well, maybe I'm just never going to do good. Again, it's like this natural law you feel you can't defy. Oh, it's like gravity. Oh, it's just one of those things. I'm one of those people that doesn't get Spanish No entiendo y no puedo. So, yeah, that is one way to look at it. You can totally do that. And a lot of people do. But you have another choice. You can look a little closer. So you feel like, wow, I was trying my all to do this. And this, again, can be an analogy for sports. This can be an analogy for getting a job. This can be an analogy for mastering a musical instrument or, you know, anything that requires practice, repetition, and skill to develop. It could be a social scenario as well. You can apply this across the board. But you feel like you've given it your all. You're like, wow, I've really tried. And because I worked hard, that's going to equal results. But like I said on the previous podcast, you can be lost off your A-double-S, looking and trying so hard to get to the right place. But that effort isn't going to equal results if you're headed in the wrong direction. So you got to point that energy, point that center of your soul in the right place. Head there. How do you know what that is? Well, first, you got to be honest. You kind of got to look at yourself in a very, very pure, honest light, brutally honest. But don't beat yourself up. Just be straight up with yourself and say, okay, I gave it my all, but did I really? Could I have studied probably a little bit longer? Maybe I could have joined a few in-class study groups with other students. Maybe I could have exchanged some more Netflix time for study time. Maybe I could have written in Spanish every day a little bit more and immersed myself a little bit more, listened to more Spanish radio, watched more Spanish Netflix. Did what you gotta do, however that manifests, whatever the scenario is, if it's not a Spanish class. I mean, it's all about really honestly dialing it down and saying, what could I have done more that I didn't do? Okay, would I be so put out if I actually gave it that much more effort? No, of course not. You would be still able to handle everything, but it just meant you actually gave it a lot more of your all. Because maybe in that scenario, you gave it 70% of your all instead of 100. So you got a 70 on the test, 76. It passes, it's a C, it's good. You're crushed because you're like, I know I can do better. So meet with the professor, discuss your grades, see what the problem areas are you can work at improving, and rededicate yourself because you didn't give it your all. You gave it your almost. And this goes with so many things in life, you know, especially those social interactions that we have with other people. We say oftentimes in those tumultuous relationships, well, you know, I gave it my all, but he wasn't trying, or she wasn't really trying to give it their all, and you know how that goes, and you know, I did what I could, and they just, you know how they are, and it's just kind of litany of excuses, because really, did you give it your all, or did you give it your almost? Because it comes down to how much that other person felt comfortable opening up. I'm not going to say this is across the bar. There are some people that are very maladjusted out there, okay? I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat that. Some people have serious mental and emotional imbalances, and it's not your fault. They are the way they are, and they probably need professional help. But, you know, 98% of the time, you can work with other people, but you have to make it so that it's not just you announcing how things are going to be or telling that person how they should or should be. It's about coming to the table with your hat in your hand, being very humble, and making it so that they feel comfortable opening up and sharing. Because if someone that you have to work with on some level, sharing a child in joint custody, working on a project together with someone that you're in school with, or maybe you work with someone at your job and you have to do something collaboratively, or, you know, it's just someone that you're trying to work out some things with, it's a matter of them feeling accepted. If they don't feel accepted, if that tone that you have bleeds over into the conversation, you're not even aware of it. You think you're just talking regular. I mean, why can't you do more, right? Sounds like, why can't you do more? And both of those have a tone in them, both. Even the second one, that's a little calmer, it still had a little bit of that tone. It triggers people. You gotta say, well, I really wasn't. When you are honest, I really wasn't giving that relationship my all. I was giving it my almost. Now, words to the wise. Don't become involved in abusive relationships. Don't get stuck in abusive relationships where you're just beaten up. There's no need to become some martyr. People love to carry around their martyrdom and show it off to people about the cross they carry and how great it is that they're, you know, being misused by other people because it's this same speech they get to regurgitate. I mean, I've done that when I was younger. It's not a good place to be at because it really doesn't make you happy. So it really comes down to being able to face your fear that I'm just not a person that is good enough to do this. I'm just not a person that is good enough to be in this relationship. I'm not a person that's good enough to work collaboratively with my coworkers. I'm not a good enough person to be one of those people fluent in Spanish or at least do well enough in Spanish to pass the class. It's a natural law. It's like gravity. I can't change it. You got to face that fear and you got to overcome it. You got to believe in yourself and say, you know what? I can do it. I can change. I will change. I will never, ever give up. Don't give it your almost. Give it your all. And look specifically as to the things you could have done. Brainstorm. Get out your podcast notebook and write down what are some specific things you could have done, possibly, that would have resulted in a better outcome. What do those things look like in reality? What does that look like for you? And then feel that future, envision what that would be like, and actually do those things if it's not too late. You know, if you can still salvage the relationship or there's still an open-ended, you know, interaction where you can do some good, do it. If you can still, you know, take the next exam for your Spanish course, do it. Study more and immerse yourself more and work with the professor more, study with other students more, and find that moment, that chink in your rusty armor, and patch it. Find a way to really complete your knowledge. It all comes down to having that attitude of saying, you know what, I can do this. I am capable, I am empowered, I am loving, compassionate, and I will always succeed at what I try to do because I believe in myself. So that's super important. It's the state of mind that you're in. It comes down to really being honest and saying, I care about myself so much, I'm not going to accept my own bullshit. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not going to hide behind this shield of, oh, I did it my all. I gave it my all. So, you know, there's nothing more I can do because that's what it comes down to, right? Let's take the example of the Spanish exam. It comes down to not really giving it your all. Okay, you gave it 70% of effort. It wasn't completely half-assed. It was a little more than over half of half-assed. But it wasn't really the all that you could have done. But you gave enough effort to where you can say, oh, well, I tried. I gave it my all. And it becomes this shield that you hide behind to not face up to the fact that you really didn't do as much as you could have done. And this is, again, not this back-breaking effort of hauling concrete blocks and sweating it off in the midday sun. This is internal. This is all about shifting your perspective and saying, you know what, I can reallocate more of my energy to this. I can try a little more sincerely than I did before. Instead of using, yeah, I gave it my all, as a shield to hide behind so that you're without blame. It's another way of sidestepping personal responsibility for the life that you live and the results that you have from the efforts that you give life. It's so easy to say that it's not your fault because you did give it your all when, sincerely speaking, you gave it your almost. Don't give it your almost. Give it your all. Try to sincerely dedicate yourself in every action that you have. It sounds exhausting. Don't overwhelm yourself. Do what you can. But don't half-ass it at the same time, right? It's this balance of being able to wear many hats, right? Being able to live the life that you live, but be, you know, an entrepreneur of emotions. To say, I can really do some amazing things in my life if I pay a little closer attention to the habits that I have and the excuses that I've made so that I can overcome them and live a happier, healthier life. Well, that about wraps it up for Winning with Trevor. I'm confident that if you apply these techniques and methods in your life, you will also win and succeed, because your success is up to you. So, signing off, I hope the rest of your day goes fantastic. And just remember, the power is all in your hands. Thanks. It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. This is Winning with Trevor, signing off. Appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful.